Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. The phones are open and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online, of course, anytime you like. Over at freetalklive.com, we have a variety of features that are waiting for you over there. And they're all free, unlike a lot of talk show hosts that want to charge you for their websites. We do it for free over at freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Aria.
So we did not have any plan to do this. This was kind of a last-minute thing. Yeah. You shot me a message late this afternoon saying that you were inspired for some reason to watch this.
Yeah, I read an article.
You watched this new Velma cartoon, or you attempted to watch the new Velma cartoon. And yeah, every now and then we do a little pop culture commentary here on Free Talk Live.
What got me intrigued was that there was a suggestion that, like, nobody likes it. Like, people on the right are upset because it's this woke nonsense, right? And people on the left are upset about it for actually kind of similar reasons, but from the opposite perspective. Hmm. And then, of course, you have Scooby-Doo fans who were upset about it because it's got nothing to do with Scooby-Doo.
Except that they lifted the characters from Scooby-Doo.
So I was like, all right, I need to watch this because it sounds like a train wreck. And if everyone agrees that it's terrible, I want to know if it's actually terrible. And who is right here? And
Is everyone right?
From what I can tell, yeah, sort of everyone's right. It's bad in all sorts of ways. It's a nonstop train wreck. There's nothing good about it. I laughed on one occasion.
I also laughed on one occasion.
Was that when, like, she went dark? Because I don't solve mysteries anymore.
And no, that didn't make sense.
Because that was just so predictable that I laughed that expectation was fulfilled.
I only laughed. The only scene I laughed at, there was a scene. So it takes place at a high school, of course, right?
Yeah.
I only laughed at the scene in the bathroom where the toilet keeps flushing as Daphne is trying to talk. That was the only part that got a laugh out loud for me. And it wasn't a really loud one. It was just like, okay.
Yeah, a chuckle. The jokes didn't seem to be very well written, if there were any jokes at all. There was a lot of poking fun. I don't know who it was trying to make laugh, right?
It seemed to me to be this sort of, within minutes of starting this thing, the wokeness is like you told me off the show that you stopped watching after a minute just because it seemed to already have been fulfilling what people were saying about it as far as the woke aspect. But then you had messaged me and I said, well, I'm already 8 minutes into it because I didn't tell you I was going to watch it.
Right.
I just started watching it. And so you then picked it up again. So we've both seen the first episode in full, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's like 30 seconds left in the first episode that I didn't watch, but it's like nothing's going to be dramatically different.
There's another dead body
seconds.
That shows up at the in the last 30 seconds. So what I was going to say was, first thing that really struck me with this was that it's going to be one of those things that does not age well because it's loaded with pop culture references. They're like naming actors and stars and referencing,
right,
you know, other things that are very sort of timely. You know, oh, well, blah, 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 Don Cheadle and, you know, like star names and things like that. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you go back and you watch, I presume, right, like I haven't seen an episode of Scooby-Doo in quite a while, but I'm guessing they're probably not referencing old 50s stars very often in Scooby-Doo, right?
Like, I'm assuming not.
It's just kids trying to solve a mystery. You know, somebody that gets their mask pulled off at the end. It's formulaic, yes. Everybody knows that about
Well, it's a
kid's
show.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be formulaic.
Not, right? This is not a kid's show.
It is definitively not a kid's show, but it's an adult show in that it has very crude language, with sexual content,
even
all of that stuff.
Cartoon nudity. at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah, and as they point out, this is one of the things I did not like about it immediately, is that it points out that, you know, they have gratuitous nudity in all of these shows, and it's solely to appeal to people's base instincts and to get higher ratings and all of that. But that doesn't stop them from including the nudity. And at one point, it's like, oh, ha, 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 they're doing the thing that they're making fun of. But, like, that's...
It wasn't even
that's
funny,
really,
though.
No, that's really cheap, and South Park was doing it, like, 25 years ago.
South Park's actually a funny show.
Yeah, and they were actually funny when they did it.
And I bet you if we went back to the pilot episode of South Park, we'd probably get more than one chuckle.
I'm sure we would. I don't know that I would anymore, because it was very reliant on, like, toilet humor back then, and I find that significantly less funny today than I did when I was, like, 12 or
okay,
whatever.
Sure.
But I imagine there's still some laughs somewhere in there.
I still probably, well, again, the one joke that made me laugh was literally toilet humor in this episode.
Okay.
So I'm not too highfalutin on that issue.
Yes, a toilet was involved in that, but, like, it wasn't toilet humor, right?
That is the definition of toilet humor. A toilet flushing in the background of a scene is the only comedy that really appealed to me in this whole thing.
But it could have just about been anything. It could have just been one of them, like, repeatedly coughing, and it would have had probably the same effect. Or was it the fact that it was a toilet flushing that made it that much more ridiculous?
It might have if somebody was coughing, but it's funnier because it's a toilet.
Okay.
It's just funnier.
Fair enough, I guess.
That's me giving as much credit to this show as I possibly can, right? And there's not much credit to give here.
No, they hit all of the high notes of what you would expect from a woke show. They make fun of the rich dude who can get away with murder. They make fun of the popular girl who's pretty. The gratuitous lesbian. Apparently, Daphne has lesbian parents now.
Cop parents.
Yes. And I didn't see any, like, that didn't bring anything to the show. It was just there to be there. And that's what the issue
with... And
there's
no explanation for why the cops show up at the end and shoot the person that they shoot. I mean, I'm not going to give spoilers here.
There is a very quick explanation, but it's one of those blink and you miss it kind of things.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay, I totally missed it.
They thought the guy there, the black guy, was a package thief.
Oh, I see.
And then they found out that they knew him, and that was how that ended up playing out.
Very subtle.
You know, that's more of that wokeism. Well, he's black. He must be a package thief. And
that's supposed to be Shaggy, right?
Yes.
The black guy?
Who hates drugs, he says.
Right, yeah.
So Norville Shaggy, apparently, is his name.
Right. So is there going to be a talking dog that shows up in the show in later episodes? Or is that Scooby-Doo just completely written out? Because, obviously, it does not show up in the first episode. This is her saying that she's going to tell her story about how she put together the gang. It wasn't Fred. It wasn't Daphne. It was her.
Right. And I don't know. I don't see how. And I completely. I'm not a big fan of Scooby-Doo or anything like
me
that.
Neither.
Right? But
me neither. Bonnie says she is.
I can see why these Scooby-Doo fans are upset.
She refused to watch this.
Yeah, it's got no loyalty to the source material, other than the fact that the characters were lifted from the same series. But I don't see any pathway from the episode that I watched tonight to a show that features a talking dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's so far removed from that sort of silly, fantasy, surreal type of comedy that I don't know how they get there. If they introduced a talking dog to this, it would be out of place.
I am mildly curious about how they get there, but not curious enough to subject myself to further episodes of this thing.
And that's assuming they're ever going to get there. Maybe they never actually bring up the fact that there's a talking dog in the Scooby-Doo shows. They just carry on with one episode from the next, and she builds her mystery-solving team, but it never even mentions the fact that, you know, there was a talking dog. Well, was he talking? He made noises.
Or was Shaggy the only one who could hear him?
That's true. Maybe the Scooby-Doo series is Shaggy's version of the story, and this is Velma's.
Now, I mean, Bonnie's sitting in the studio. She's not technically on the show tonight. Are there episodes of Scooby-Doo where the rest of the team can communicate with Scooby? I'm not a big enough fan, so I don't remember that happening. I remember hearing that it was always only Shaggy. I mean, you can nod if you want, or you can come on. It's up to you. But hang on, she's coming in here. All right, here she is.
I'm pretty sure that all of them talk to him, and he answers, and they aren't like, oh my god, he understood, or anything like that. But he doesn't really make actually say things except for, like, rut-row. He doesn't even say Scooby Snacks.
Yeah, he's not like Brian from Family Guy or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't, like, carry on intelligent conversation. He, as Bonnie said, I think he says rut-row.
Well, okay, and later, though, they bring in his nephew, right? And doesn't he have full lines, Scrappy?
Oh, Scrappy does talk,
He does have full lines,
Scrappy definitely
right?
does.
Yeah, I just don't remember if the humans talk to him.
I don't either. I don't know. All right. She, Bonnie's not a big enough fan. She doesn't remember the important question.
I was just a big fan as a little kid. I watched them all a couple Halloweens ago, but
you
the oldest
them all?
Ones. The oldest ones.
Wow. How many?
And they don't have Scrappy
Doo. Like decades of Scooby-Doo episodes.
There must be hundreds of them.
I didn't mean all of them, but I meant I watched all of the ones that I liked.
I see.
Fair enough.
So, definitely seemed woke. But I'm curious to hear more about the leftist critique. I mean, the right-wing critique is predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to look at their news stories to see, or their opinion pieces to see what they're going to say about this. And it fills those critiques. It definitely meets those woke kind of expectations.
It does, but I don't even mind woke, right? Like, the BBC Merlin series was about as woke as a show could get. It was Velma, but not quite as on the nose with some of its social justice cues. But it was still completely woke with a black actress playing Guinevere and all of these other little woke talking points thrown in there. But I loved the show. It was fine. But there's something about Velma that just isn't a good show in addition to being woke.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have an article here from Vice. I thought that was Forbes for some reason, but it's I'm looking at a completely different article at the moment. Sorry, I've got too much show prep pulled up. The article I have about Velma being woke, it is actually from Forbes.
Okay,
but I have to find it now.
But, okay, but what did you find about the left critiquing this as well? Was the left upset about it being woke? That wouldn't make much sense.
Well, in their article, they didn't specify. They didn't break it down. They're like, these are the right's criticisms, and these are the left's criticisms. The article does feature them, but I'd have to dig through it again.
So it's all in the Forbes piece. Okay. Well, let's hear what they have.
And I don't know to what extent it really said that. It really gave examples of how people on the left were upset, but it pointed it out.
Okay.
So the first two episodes of Velma have arrived on HBO Max, and they have indeed. By the way, I recently canceled all of those streaming services that I had. And
good for you. I know you were saying it was really expensive.
It was. It turned out to be about $96 a month on streaming services.
That's literally what people used to pay for cable.
Yeah.
You know?
So I canceled all of them, and then I systematically went back through, and well, I didn't systematically go back through. I've reinstated the ones that I needed to use. And so far, I have HBO Max and Hulu.
All right.
And that's been it. I don't see any reason.
I mean, should that be more than enough to watch?
I suspect that's more than enough, yeah. I don't see myself ever reinstating these others. And that takes it down to like $12 a month or something like that. Something significantly more reasonable.
Okay.
But these episodes of Velma haven't really impressed critics. But audience reviews, those are brutal. Currently, Velma is reviewing with a very poor for HBO Max, 50% from critics.
All right.
And has only 9% from hundreds of audience scores.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I don't know that I would score it that low. I think I'd probably give it a 30, maybe. 30 out of 100, maybe.
I don't know. I'd want to see the second episode before I could really make a...
Before you hop in and say, well, this is people review bombing the show because it's made the cast more diverse. That's kind of one of the weirdest things here. Velma seems like it's upsetting both sides of its potential audience. Sure, there'll be the usual...
It's down to 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if it was at 9%, but it's at 6 now.
That's rough because this article from Forbes down at the bottom, it does have an update saying, you know, more time has passed since we wrote this and it hasn't gotten any better. Now it's down to 6%. And you're saying now it's down to... I mean, now it's down to 7% was what they said.
Yeah.
So it's gone from 7 to 6% since they updated the article. So people are saying it's made the cast more diverse. I can't imagine too many people who actually are going to watch.
Care about that?
Well, people on the right who are upset because, oh, no, there aren't as many white people on TV or whatever. They're upset. But I suspect that's a very small minority.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, to me, that doesn't bother me at all. I don't care if you change the color of the Little Mermaid. It doesn't bother me in the least. It's a fictional character. You can make them whatever color you want to. I think it's... It could be kind of fun, maybe, what they're going to do with the Norberg character. What was his name?
Norville.
Norville. Norberg's from the Naked Gun series. That's what I was going to do. He was O.J. Simpson's character in the Naked Gun series. Anyway, Norville, I'm going to predict that he's anti-drug now, but he becomes Shaggy later as he discovers marijuana. He mentions college. I don't know if he's in college yet because
they're all in high school, right?
The episode
he's in her math class.
Oh, is he in the class? I didn't remember.
Yeah, he gets tutoring from her or something like that, and she wants to stop the tutoring, so he wants to just send her his answers, and she will correct them. It's in the back. They didn't
totally
go into specifics, but they did allude to it.
All right, I didn't pick that up. So, yeah, I think he's planning to go to college or whatever. My prediction is, if they're going to stay true to the original, he has to become Shaggy at some point, right? Because he's obviously that character. He wears the green shirt. And so right now he's straight edge. But I think something's going to happen to him where, unless they play him straight edge throughout the whole series, which wouldn't make much sense.
That's what I like about how they, the one thing I do like about it is Velma is like, this is my version of the story, right? Mm-hmm. This is her take on the Scooby-Doo mythos. That was someone else's take. It's someone else's version, maybe Fred's or Daphne's or whoever. Shaggy was this pot-smoking white dude.
Mm-hmm.
But in her version, he was this upstanding, drug-free person. Because remember, in the original show, they never actually showed him doing drugs. It was just sort of understood by all the adults and stuff that, you know, he was smoking pot. But that original series that we all know and love, that's just someone else, some other character's interpretation of how the show was. And we don't know who that was, but this is her interpretation.
Right.
So which one of those is the way Shaggy really was? Was he really this normal character? Or was he really the pot smoker? Was he something in between?
I don't know. It's obviously a reimagining to some extent, right? Because, like you said, whether there's going to be a talking dog show up at some point will still remain to be seen. Or
I think someone will get a dog, but I don't think it'll talk. And I think the way the show was spinning was that version of Scooby-Doo is some other character's take on the series. And when they say, this is my story, that's the story they tell.
I don't know.
But it'll be interesting to see.
It could be that they're just having fun flipping the character of Shaggy into a straight-edge person, but it could also be fun to see that person become Shaggy and see that sort of dynamic change. Maybe just getting way too deep into what could happen and giving the show more credit than it deserves. I don't know. It's hard to make a judgment based on the first episode, right? Like if
it is.
In a lot of cases, first episodes of series, you're just getting introduced to characters and they don't really have a chance to do much else. So maybe there's, I don't know.
Yeah, in my experience, the first episodes of shows, they take like the first 10 minutes or so just to introduce you to all the characters. And there isn't a lot of plot development. The first episode of Family Guy is really bad about this. It has all the characters come out and it sort of introduces what role they're all going to play in the series, and it does this in like the first 10 minutes, and there's not a whole lot of laughs, and the first episode just as a whole isn't very good. It doesn't speak to the genius and the hilarity that's going to come from Family Guy. And the same is true of South Park and American Dad and a bunch of other shows as well, where the first episode is just,
they gotta get their feet underneath them to some extent.
It's establishing the set piece so you know what to expect. And that's why
I say I might be willing to give it another try. I don't know. It's just like,
if I have time, I might watch the second episode. But like, maybe that's why people waited until they had the second episode to really begin weighing in on it, because we haven't seen it. But based on what everyone's saying, it's going to be more of this.
Okay.
But if you watch the show, it feels like it's almost making fun of shows that do diversity casting or social messaging. And
this is what Forbes said?
Yes. And it's not wrong in that note as well. Like it
seems self-aware about that, yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse it.
No.
And too many of these people think that it does excuse it. Like, ha, 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 we're poking fun at how social justice-y we are. Aren't we clever? But meanwhile, we're ultra-social justice-y.
Right. Yeah, they're wearing it like a badge at the same time, for sure.
Yeah, it's still gross and it's still cringy. It's led what you might have assumed would be a more left-leaning fan base for the show to accuse creator Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, before you go on that, just a further thought on that. It's like, why did they have to call it out? Like, it's okay that Velma's a really smart Indian girl or whatever, a Middle Eastern girl. I think that's what she's supposed to be. But instead, they have to spend narrative time explaining how she is and her friends and like
the and how the white dude thinks she's Mexican. Like, you know, that comes out repeatedly in the first episode of the show, and it's like, is there really any point in spending so much time on this except to create this narrative of a white person being able to tell the difference between a Hispanic person from Mexico and a Middle Eastern person? Because I've met and know people from the Middle East, and I've met and know Hispanics.
Yeah.
And I've never had any difficulty. Right. So, you must be from India, because you're brown, I guess? No, that's not the way anyone sees the
world. Well, the idea is that character is supposed to be stupid, so I guess that's why. But still, there's just so much exposition explaining the wokeness, and it's not necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. But people do have this impression that it's sort of making fun of wokeness, and that's why The left-leaning fan base for the show is accusing creator Mindy Kaling of making it actually a somewhat conservative project.
Oh, my God.
As people cite past comments she's made and things like her liking recent J.K. Rowling tweets as evidence of her personal views. Because apparently, I mean, J.K. Rowling is a TERF. There's very little doubt about that.
Trans-exclusionary radical
feminist. It's okay. These sort of... radical feminists, or these sort of feminists who think that trans women just shouldn't count, right? And that they're hurting the feminist movement or whatever. If you're one of these people, you're welcome to call in and explain to us exactly what you think, because I'm just basing my understanding of it based on what I've experienced.
Now, isn't Mindy Kaling, who's the producer, I guess one of the producers of this series, isn't she like a commie or something like that? I don't know a lot about her.
I don't know a lot about her either, unfortunately.
Apparently the lefties aren't happy, so that's interesting. That makes me like, what's really going on here?
Above all else, it feels like the humor just is not connecting for really any audience. And
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know who is supposed to be making laugh, but like, I've laughed more watching funerals. No, that's not quite true. Because I did laugh once. I don't think I've ever laughed at a funeral.
This isn't a monster show at this point, right? Like, and I didn't think it was going to be. This is a murder show at this point. There's a body that shows up at the high school. They're trying to figure out, there's not even a they at this point. It's Velma is trying to figure out who is behind it. She doesn't really successfully figure that out at the very end of the episode, and then another body shows up. So this is going to be a murder show, a murder mystery.
Keeping in mind, I didn't see the second body. It also had the entire brain move, because that was the manner of one of the features of the first death.
Yes, exactly the same kind of killing another high school girl. But, I mean, as far as comedy is concerned, I get more laughs out of a Scream movie than this.
Yeah.
Like, Scream, an actual horror movie, has a better sense of humor than this cartoon.
Well, keep in mind, the original Scooby series also was not a monster show, right?
Well, that's true. They're all people.
They were all people, but it always had that narrative that the real monster is always a human being.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
I mean, so far, Velma is hitting all of those notes as well, just without the person wearing the
mask.
Yeah. Above all else, it feels like the humor... Okay. The show feels like it's trying to annoy anyone that watches it. I didn't get that impression. I didn't feel like it was trying to annoy me. It was trying to make me laugh, but it wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
It was what I would expect some ultra-leftist, some woke person to write comedy as. Because I've seen some of these woke comedians put their clips on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, and they're like, this is going to make people laugh. And you watch, and it's just cringy woke talking points. And it's like, I didn't hear anything in there that even remotely resembled a joke. And that's what I got from Velma.
Okay.
And the Scooby-Doo IP almost seems secondary to the entire concept. Scooby-Doo has found great success over the years as both the kids' cartoon and with live-action movies, and while it's possible some adult animation version of the concept could have worked, this iteration seems to have rubbed all potential audiences the wrong way. This is a show that finally has Daphne and Velma share a kiss, which I either missed that, or maybe it's in episode two.
Yeah.
And yet, its potential liberal audience is writing it off because of how antagonistic it all feels. There's more of this coming up because I didn't get that particular impression, but they do get into some of the leftist reasons for hating the show.
We're going to continue here, and if you want to weigh in on this or whatever happens to be on your mind, there's probably something in the news today, but honestly, I don't know what it is. The number here is 603-283-6160, but that's why it's an open phone show, so you can tell us what you think is important here on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Wallofire.com. USA News update. The White House wants Congress to swiftly raise the debt limit. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said lawmakers must soon deal with the debt limit without conditions. The U.S. expected to hit the borrowing limit on Thursday. President Biden is frustrated with his administration's response to the discovery of classified documents in a former private office and in his Delaware home. NBC News is reporting that the president is also upset with the backlash he's receiving after those documents were found. The husband of missing Massachusetts mom Anna Walsh now facing murder charges in her disappearance.
The continued investigation has now allowed police to obtain an arrest warrant charging Brian Walsh with the murder of his wife. Mr. Walsh will be transported to the Quincy District Court for arraignment on the charge of murder.
Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey says Walsh was initially arrested on lesser charges. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We are weighing in, Aria and me, I'm Ian, tonight on Velma, the new series from HBO Max, apparently, which I did just confirm, according to, PopBuzz.com and other sources, Scooby-Doo will not be appearing in Velma due to various different things. Number one, apparently, he just wasn't being... Warner Brothers, which owns HBO Max, as I understand it, right? Time Warner is, aren't they all tied in together? They wouldn't license Scooby-Doo, but further, they felt like Scooby-Doo was a, you know, what makes the original thing a kid's show, and so therefore they were happy about the decision to not being able to license Scooby-Doo. So no Scooby-Doo.
That's very much what I would expect, but I also would expect at some point Shaggy, Norville, is... probably going to get a dog of some type, and it's going to have a name similar to Scoob or Scooby. I don't know what they're going to call
something
it.
Something else.
But I think in order to have any, and it's only very tentatively connected to the Scooby-Doo show in the first place, but in order to maintain just that loose connection, they do have to have a dog of some sort.
Yes, well, maybe we won't see, but...
It doesn't have to be, obviously, because you don't want a little kid to watch this and be like, oh, why can't I watch this show with Mommy? It's Scooby-Doo, right? So you don't want to have some wall of separation where if some kid
sees this...
Yeah, this
isn't a kid's show, for sure.
Yeah, if some kid sees a screenshot of this Velma online, they're not going to go, oh, that's Velma from Scooby-Doo. I should watch this show, right? You don't want that. So you wouldn't want the Scooby-Doo from the show Velma to be identifiable immediately as Scooby-Doo, but you would want it to be a dog of some sort.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go there.
I think they got to. Well, maybe they can't.
I don't think they have to.
But it's stupid because Warner Brothers, the whole streaming thing is stupid. There was an article recently that I ended up not bringing in, but it was about how Warner Brothers, it was the Bugs Bunny shows. They wouldn't relicense their own shows to their own streaming platform for X amount of money or whatever, and it was such a confusing bureaucratic...
They were demanding more money from themselves.
Yes, that was pretty much exactly it. And it's like, it's completely insane. Wow. This is corporations. This is what government has done to the world. It's that this company is demanding more money for itself in order to make more money. And somehow, any of that made sense.
One fan online, according to popbuzz.com, says, Velma is so bad, how do you make Scooby-Doo without Scooby-Doo? Another said, without Scooby, it's just a random teen murder show.
See, I don't mind any of that in and of itself, though. I don't mind Scooby-Doo not being a prominent character. I do think it would be a good idea, as I've said, and I'm not going to keep rehashing this, but I do think they need to introduce a dog character. It could be a minor character. Maybe Orville. No, I keep calling him Orville. Maybe he's got a dog, and that's all that's ever said about it.
Or maybe he'll hallucinate a dog later when he finally stops being straight edge and turns into Shaggy. I don't know.
It's possible. But the absence of Scooby-Doo and, I mean, the degrees of separation from the Scooby-Doo mystery show for kids, that doesn't bother me at all. I mean, you can make an adult, just like the BBC series of Merlin. It was completely divorced from Merlin, as I understand, from The Once and Future King by T.H. White, which was completely divorced from whatever mythology he drew it from, going all the way back to the Middle Ages.
And as long as it's good, who cares? I mean, only true fanatics care about, you know, being appropriate to the source material or sticking with the source 100%. That's only a true fan.
And that's why I like Bonnie's perspective on this, because the vast majority of these people, I would speculate, are not true fans of Scooby-Doo.
These people meaning...
The people who are criticizing Velma for not being true to the source material or whatever. They're not diehard Scooby-Doo fans, right?
They might be.
I suspect some of them are, but most of them, I think, are not. And I realize that's just speculation, but I don't think there are the super fans out there who are upset about it not being, like the Little Mermaid thing all over again. A lot of these, it's not true to the source material, and that upsets me as a fan. But were you really a fan of the Little Mermaid until they made the Little Mermaid black and you have something to be upset
now
about?
Care, yeah.
Yeah.
According to ScreenRant.com, they're saying Season 2 has already been confirmed at HBO Max despite the recent backlash, which is surprising. I mean, this thing has been panned from apparently both the left and the right. And
I don't know how surprising it is. HBO has said that it's their most watched show, and it sort of gets into the Streisand effect. It is their most watched premiere or something like that. It's
amazing.
But it's because, like, I've never watched one of their premieres. This is the first HBO original I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So they did something right. If the goal is to get people to eyeballs into HBO Max, then they succeeded.
They got people out, yeah.
I reactivated my HBO account recently. I would not have done so to watch Velma, I don't think. I did it to watch Doctor Who. But maybe some people will keep their subscription because they just got to see this train wreck go on. They just got to see how it ends.
Was there more that you wanted to share from Forbes?
There's a little bit more. I wish they got into the specifics of what criticisms people on the left have. They do get into one. Let me find it here. It's a tweet they shared from somebody, and I am pulling it up. Now, I'm happy Mindy Kaling's style of writing brown girls that hate themselves wasn't around when I was younger and only became a thing when I was at the age where I loved my heritage and skin color. I can't imagine being young and already self-conscious and then seeing that portrayal. So apparently...
Oh, they're saying it's not uplifting enough.
They're saying that that Velma criticized herself a lot or whatever, portrayed herself negatively for being an Indian girl or a brown character, whatever she was. I didn't ask what her ethnicity was, and I didn't pay close enough attention to find out. But I think you said she was supposed to be from India.
I don't know if it's India, but she's clearly from the Middle East or India or somewhere out there. Okay. I mean, her dad is very dark.
And to be fair,
gentleman.
To be fair to that, a lot of people can't tell the difference between someone from Pakistan and someone from India. So that's not a white people thing. Like the countries are next to each other. People, we're not being racist for saying that.
Right.
I mean, there will be people out there. It's like, you can't tell the difference between a Middle Eastern and an Indian. But, like, dude, have you been to Pakistan or India or the Valley or the Kashmir Valley?
I mean, I'm going to defend what the show could become. You know, it could very well be that this character, right, in series, they have a lot of time to do things, right? It's not just a movie. You don't just have an hour and a half. You've got an entire series to go through, at least a season, maybe now two, where you may see this main character go through the change of being this self-hating, you know, oh, I'm a dork and no one likes me, to being a confident nerd or whatever, right? Like knowing that she's good at solving mysteries and becoming, you know, really, really confident with herself towards the end of the season or towards the end of the series. And so this person who's criticizing, oh, well, she should already be a strong Indian girl right from day one. Maybe that's not the intention of the show's creators. Maybe they want to have a dynamic character that doesn't start out as a winner or doesn't start out as the, you know, the top sleuth in the town or whatever, but then becomes that.
You're right, and I took issue with her being considered a dork or unpopular because she was weird or whatever, because this is the definition of an informed attribute. Now, for those who don't know, this is a characteristic that a character in a show is repeatedly said to have.
Mm.
Like, they're repeatedly said that she's very dorky, she's very weird, she's very nerdy on all of these, but she never does anything that's weird or nerdy or dorky. It's just an informed attribute. She's only nerdy because other characters on the show routinely call her. This is like Worf in Star Trek. No, he was never actually very tough. He never did anything tough or did anything very strong, but everyone in the show always called him the biggest, toughest, best fighter we got, but he was never any of those things. It's just an informed attribute, and that's how she is with being nerdy.
I don't know. She's into math. She's into solving mysteries. I mean, she wears glasses. What more do you need?
But wearing glasses maybe is considered nerdy, you know, in some ways, but I didn't see anything in there. I mean, she wasn't talking about her Dungeons and Dragons club or the latest World of Warcraft expansion or any of these other things that could have been nerdy. She did talk about solving mysteries because her mother was a mystery novelist, from what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, and look, if your mother's a mystery novelist, it kind of makes sense that you would enjoy mysteries. But this was also something that she just did with her mother. She did ultimately go out and start looking for mysteries otherwise, but the way they portrayed it, her mother would create little mysteries for her to solve, and maybe that's a little nerdy, but it also stays at home as she was friends with the popular girl through all of this. So she was popular prior to 2 years before the show started, and it wasn't until her mother died when she became presumably secluded and a bit withdrawn, as one probably will when their mother dies. But it's just an informed attribute. I never saw anything nerdy or dorky out of her. And if you want to portray a nerdy or dorky character, I'm fine with that. But you have to actually make them nerdy and dorky. And I didn't get that from her.
I'm just looking here at another story here from the NY Post with other people's opinions about this.
Oh, that's my phone. I had to turn on notifications earlier for reasons I don't want to get into, so now my phone's making noise. Sorry about that.
Another observer says, very current year. This culture sucks so bad. And the comment of very current year sort of echoes my thoughts from the first few minutes where they're just constantly referencing popular culture. And it's just like, to me, that's my least favorite kind of comedy. I just don't think it's funny to make jokes about Hollywood stars and things like that. It just seems so, I don't know, like they weren't even trying very hard.
And as you mentioned, it dates the piece.
It dates it.
It by definition means it cannot be timeless. And that's one of the things about the original Scooby-Doo is that it is timeless. You can pull up any of the episodes from the 60s or 70s or whenever it was made, because I don't know, and it won't feel dated in the way that, you know,
this is going to 20 years from now. If anyone ever goes back to this 20 years from now, you're not going to get the jokes.
Yeah, and the same is true of, like, the Scream movies, right? All of the references to, I don't know, maybe, or the Scary Movie.
Right? Yeah.
It dates it.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
And it's, as you point out, it's also generally not very funny.
Well, yeah,
it's almost like toilet humor. It's just such low-hanging fruit.
But they weren't. I mean, toilet hanger, toilet humor would at least be funny in certain circumstances, and this didn't even have that. And the jokes all fell flat. I mean, it was just all social commentary and speaking to current popular culture. I mean, that really was the mass of the jokes in this show.
One of the only things that I could really identify even as a joke, because there were things in there that I could tell were supposed to be humorous, but nothing that really stuck out as a joke, was Norville saying at one point that he liked Velma. He had a crush on her and all of this other stuff. He just repeatedly misunderstood it as him telling a joke, him trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And it's, there was nothing funny about it, because one, it's tragic for someone to pour their heart out to someone else.
And have them think they're joking.
Yeah, and have it just be completely ignored like that. That's not funny at all, but it's also, no one's that dense. No one could possibly, and it's not, it doesn't circle around so to being so dense that it's absurd, and that's what makes it funny. It's just, she's just being dense. And there's no joke there. It's an attempt at a joke. But it's very dull and very boring, and I didn't find the episode unpleasant. I wasn't offended, certainly.
It was boring. It was just like, oh, okay, what are we going to do something interesting?
Yeah, it existed. You know, if it was playing in the background while I was, I don't know, playing World of Warcraft or insert whatever game, that doesn't require me to actually listen and pay attention, I wouldn't necessarily change it.
The thing is, what I found was if I was doing... There was something, I picked up my phone at some point to, I don't know, send a message to you, and then I realized I hadn't been paying enough attention to what was going on, and I didn't really know what had happened on the screen at that point. So I don't think you can really put this show in the background, because you do need to pay attention to see what's going on. You told me a couple of things tonight that I didn't even notice had happened in the show, and I did watch it for the most part.
You probably watched it more closely than I did.
Without distracting myself.
Because, as we mentioned, I did put it down after a minute in, because I had read the reviews, and, you know, they're like, oh, it's just this woke nonsense. And I was like, well, that's what they say about everything.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So the people on the right are saying it's woke, and the people on the left are saying it's not woke enough, basically.
More or less.
So far.
Yeah. No, I see, you know, she's portraying, you know, brown kids as... You know, hating themselves for being brown is really good.
No, she's just portraying this one brown kid who doesn't have enough self-esteem, which is not uncommon for a girl in high school, right?
Right.
Yeah. Or
certainly
anyone in high school, for that matter.
But it can't really be that way. It should be portrayed that way, but it's not, because they make such a big deal of the skin colors of the characters. They make a huge deal of the fact that Fred is white.
Which is annoying.
Yeah. So it can't just be, this is the one Indian girl who has this characteristic.
He can't just be funny because he's stupid.
Right.
He has to be white and stupid, right?
Which is tragic, because it is funny when people are stupid. That would actually be funny. Make the guy stupid. But he's not stupid. He's oblivious in a way that is meant to be racist. And sure, you can make a racist guy who's funny. I'm sure plenty of shows have done that. I struggle to think of one off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's countless shows out there who have a racist guy, and it's funny that he's racist. But he's not that. He's stupid in ways that are only racist. Like, he can't remember this girl's name because she's brown. He's not stupid and racist. He's racist. I don't know how to say that.
They try to paint him as though he's stupid, but yet he kind of explains too much about himself. He's too self-aware to be as stupid as they want him to be, or at least that's sort of the impression that I got about him. Like, at one point, he just sort of explains toward the end of the episode about how he's supposed to be like his father, and, you know, he's supposed to look this way, but he doesn't look... And he just gets a little bit... It's too speechy for what is supposed to be a stupid character.
Yeah, he is very preachy. That was him, you know, basically having hairless legs or whatever and being... A sissy, I guess. I mean, he wasn't the big, strong man that his dad wanted him to be. And it was all very weird. And
it is weird.
He wasn't stupid in any of those ways. You're absolutely right. He was relatively intelligent, but he was just racist, and this caused him to be stupid. And they diagnosed him as having this disease of, what they called it, rudeness, where he can't remember people's names or however they said. And was that disease rudeness? And he's like, yes, it was, actually. Thank you.
I don't know if I got that he was racist, per se. Like, I didn't see him being Chris Cantwell or something like that. He wasn't.
That's true. That's just an that's a really good point. That's another informed attribute. He never said or did anything that was racist. They just kept calling him racist.
I don't remember them using that term.
They may might not have used the word racist. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it now because they certainly did portray
it. Don't rewatch it.
Well, I'll watch episode two.
I'd be willing to watch the second episode just to see if they go anywhere else or expand beyond what they've currently done. And I think they might. I think they might. I am curious to see what happens to see if the other character, Nordberg or whatever, becomes Shaggy at some point.
I really wish he had a different name because I struggle to remember Norville. I keep wanting to call him Norbert. Orville or whatever.
So that's, I think, one of the bigger questions for me, just one of the curiosities that I have about the show. But was there more from Forbes, or should we move on to some more
stuff? We can move on. They didn't really have anything too interesting to say further about it. They did point out, as we said, that it had 9% initially when they wrote this article. Mm-hmm. And then they updated it later to say 7%, and now you're saying...
This is Rotten Tomatoes score.
And now you're saying Rotten Tomatoes has it listed as 6%, so it's not improving.
No.
And I don't think scores of 1% or 0 or whatever these people are giving it is helpful. I don't think they're honest reviews. I think it's just them trying to be jerks or trying to make a point or whatever.
Well, the strange thing is you can't even see any reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Normally you see, like, critics' reviews and... audience reviews and that sort of thing, and I'm not even seeing that.
They may have paused it because that's what a lot of companies do when they get review bombed, is they pause it and they hide all reviews because it's not...
Maybe HBO's paying them or something like that.
Well, it could be, but if I had a review site, I wouldn't want to be responsible for a good show failing because it upset a bunch of Republicans.
Well, right? Apparently everybody's upset about this show.
They are. It does seem to be the case that they are. And... for good reason. It is woke nonsense, and it's not funny in being woke nonsense. And then it does apparently go the other direction.
You can't be funny and be woke nonsense, right? Like, I mean, the old joke is the left can't meme, and there's something to that. Like, I don't know why it is, but these people, it seems to be the more woke they are, the less of a sense of humor that they have. Because, I mean, look at the ChatGPT that we were talking about the other night. It is prohibited... by its quote-unquote ethics rules, from cracking a joke that could possibly offend. Well, if you want to have a good joke, it could possibly offend. That's generally the rule with humor, is that there's supposed to be some sort of a target. There's somebody that's being picked on. There's some sort of a victim, quote-unquote, of the humor. That's generally a truth about humor. And so, like, when you ask ChatGPT to write a joke, it gives you the lamest, like, elementary school kind of joke that you can possibly get.
That's right. Bonnie asked it to make a joke about Cartman or something to that effect, or to give it a South Park joke. I don't remember what she asked it, but the joke was, why did Cartman cross the road? And the answer was, so he could meme himself or something like that. That was ChatGPT's joke, and it was so awful.
Okay, I just asked it to write a joke, and it gave me the exact same joke that it did the last time I asked it to write a joke, which is, why was the math book sad? Because it had too many problems. I mean, that's literally something you would hear in kindergarten.
I mean, ha-ha, that is a joke. It's too...
stupid.
Yeah, it's too obvious and not good to be funny, but it's a joke. But... can you ask it to write a better joke?
let's not do it on the air, because it's bad. It's completely crippled from being funny, which is what wokeness does to comedy. It cripples their options of things to have fun with, because some people can't take a joke, and these woke people don't want to offend anyone, so they just don't tread into territory that could possibly be funny. I mean, you go back to old movies. Bonnie and I were watching... the Naked Gun series recently, and Police Squad, which was the original series that inspired the Naked Gun series. Have you seen these movies?
I have not.
Oh, wow. So Zucker, Abrams, Zucker, these were like the kings of sort of slapstick, hilarious, throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks kind of comedy. They're some of the funniest movies. Airplane is one of their movies.
I'm familiar with Airplane. I've never seen it, but I understand the basic concepts and the style of humor that it has.
And these movies could not come out today.
No, certainly not.
They could not come out today. There's so many jokes at the quote-unquote expense of somebody, usually being delivered by or being accepted by somebody who is of the, you know, the race or the gender or whatever that is being made fun of, because those people could take a joke. Those people could understand that they were part of something that was funny, even though they themselves were being made fun of, right? Like, it's okay to be in that role, and wokeism has completely eliminated that.
It has, and it's sad, but we're not exaggerating when we say that the left has no sense of humor, or that wokeism has no sense of humor. You can find, I'm in a lot of the, well, I've seen a lot of these groups on Facebook, these trans S-posting, crap-posting groups that exist on Facebook, and for those who don't know, I'm a bit of a troll, I'm a bit of a crap-poster on the internet, I know how to do these things, and it's where you post nonsense to make people laugh, and a lot of it can be very, very, very offensive, and it's funny. However, when you see these LGBTQ crap posters and they're trying to crap post, this is like a screed. Here's 47 paragraphs of something, or the left has...
That's the thing, the left can't meme.
There's a stereotype of leftist memes of just being just mountains of text that's not funny to read, and that certainly exists.
It's true to some extent.
The crap posting that I've seen, it's not at all crap posting, and you can go on to TikTok or YouTube or... whatever video platform you want, and look for woke comedians. They won't call themselves woke, and you don't want to find a video presented from a conservative or a right-winger on the subject. Find an actual woke comedian, though, and watch some of their clips and just count how many times you laugh. Or
groan.
Or study what they consider a joke to be, because nothing they say in there is remotely funny. I've never laughed watching any of these people, and I've spent some time watching some of these people.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's nothing funny about it. I don't think you necessarily have to be offensive. Like, you don't have to go up on stage to make racist jokes in order to be funny.
No.
And you really, you shouldn't do that. But it can be funny if done correctly.
Okay, right. You're absolutely correct about that. You know, you go back to old comedians, and... there were the comedians who were particularly crass, and then there were comedians that weren't crass. They could, you know, you could have, like, your kids watch. So, for instance, Bill Cosby, all right? Aside from what he's been alleged to have done from a sexual whatever, all that stuff.
Right, he never did any of that on stage.
He was funny, but he was also pretty clean as far as his comedy was concerned. You look
at the ultimate dad.
Right, you look at Bob Saget, who was clean on his show, The Full House, but was actually a very dirty comic, from what I understand. You look at Andrew Dice Clay, again, a very dirty kind of comic. But you didn't have to be racist or particularly dirty to be funny. But that said, Bill Cosby, one of his most popular characters was Fat Albert. Right, so he was still making fun of people. He was still there's still a victim, if you will, in that particular skit or that character.
But unfortunately, I don't know anything about Fat Albert.
It's just one of his famous characters.
Sure.
There was like his cartoon series and everything. But you know, my point being that even though it was clean humor, it still was humor. It was still something that made fun of something. There's more coming up here in moments. The number 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, you can share your thoughts on how humor has just gone down the drain recently. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR EDR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.